You are tuned in to the CU Insight Trendline, the credit union industry's podcast for the latest perspectives, shifts, and key content to keep you informed and ahead. I'm Greg Micklig, President and CEO at CUinsight.com, here to bring you the trends shaping our industry every other week, all in under 15 minutes. Let's track the trend. Welcome back to the CU Insight Trendline podcast. This episode is a little different from our usual format. Normally, we have one featured guest in addition to a blend of additional trending content. But this time, we've got two interviews with two of the top voices in credit union advocacy, both from CU Insight collaborator organizations. Robbie Young, CU Insight's Vice President of Strategic Growth, spoke with Tony Hernandez, CEO of the Defense Credit Union Council, and Greg Misak, Senior Vice President of Advocacy at America's Credit Unions, to discuss a critical topic, the government shutdown and its impact on credit unions and their members. Before we get to those conversations, we'll start as we always do with two of the top three trending articles on CU Insight, brought to you by John Pettit.
This is John Pettit, Managing Editor at CU Insight, and I'm here with a look at my top three trending articles on CU Insight. At number three this week is an article titled, The Rise of ATM Jackpotting, How to Protect Your Credit Union and Members, by Invisint's Marianne Colucci. ATM jackpotting is booming, making up nearly 75% of ATM attacks this year. Scammers are hacking machines to spit out cash, and while members aren't directly hit, credit unions can take a big financial blow. The defense? Stay layered. Update software and encryption, use custom locks and reinforced kiosks, and keep ATMs in bright, visible spots. Fraudsters are clever, but your credit union can be smarter. Stay sharp and keep them from cashing in on your ATMs. Number two this week is Stablecoins, One Locomotive on the Rails of Modern Money, from DeLand's Randy Ralston. Stablecoins aren't coming, they're already here. And they're moving fast. PayPal is paying yield, MoneyGram is sending remittances on chain, and even St. Cloud Credit Union is launching its own token. This isn't just crypto hype, it's changing how payments, deposits, and member expectations work. The rails are being built for faster, cheaper, borderless transactions. Credit unions can either watch deposits slip away or grab a seat and help build the track. The train's rolling. Are you on board or still paying the fare? Stay tuned later in the podcast for my number one article.
Good stuff as always, John. And now let's get to what is definitely a trending topic and a very important one for credit unions, and that's the government shutdown. Here is Robbie Young's interview with Greg Misak, Senior Vice President of Advocacy at America's Credit Unions.
Hi, Greg. Thank you so much for being on this episode of the Trendline today. Just to hop right in, what's the top advocacy ask from Congress during the shutdown?
Well, you know, the quick answer is open the government back up. But it, recognizing there's a lot more to it than we can really impact when it comes to the negotiations, I think our top advocacy ask is to recognize the strains that the shutdown is putting on credit unions, particularly credit unions, because so many credit unions were built and operate around government employees, be it our great military credit unions. We have a number of government employee credit unions. And they're out there every day working hard to support their members, members who might not be receiving paychecks, members who are facing financial hardship because they aren't receiving those paychecks. And it's putting a strain on the credit unions. They're rising up. They're doing things like 0% interest loans. They're doing paycheck advances. They're doing any number of things to try to help their members survive. And they're happy to do it because that's what credit unions do. That's why we exist. But it puts a real strain on the credit unions. We've heard from credit unions, you know, those paycheck advances, those 0% interest loans, they cost a lot. Every pay period that the government doesn't provide a check to its employees because it's shut down, those credit unions are advancing and taking out their own capital to pay that or support their members.
So important and perfect segue into my next question. How will your team support credit unions if this funding remains stalled?
Well, there's, you know, we're always out there advocating on their behalf. We're acting as a conduit between credit unions and regulators, credit unions and Congress, and helping members interact with their credit unions. And so we're going to go out there and tell their story as much as we can, relay their message to members of Congress. Their credit unions are out there in the field helping people because that's what they do. They don't have time to be up on Capitol Hill. They don't have time to be at the regulators. They don't have time to be at the White House telling their story. So our job is to be their voice, to speak for them, to the good work they're doing, but also the cost of the shutdown on credit unions and the cost of the shutdown on credit unions members. That's what we can do most effectively. And also another big thing that we're doing that we're really proud of is we're helping credit unions connect with each other. You know, that cooperative spirit, helping credit unions share ideas, share information, come up with new ways, interact with each other, and kind of be that convening force so that if a credit union has a unique issue with one of their members, one of their member credit unions might have be facing the same thing. We put them together and they can help bring them together, work through these problems and share ideas in new ways they can support their members through the shutdown.
For sure. And such valuable information that you're offering to support those credit unions with. What credit union regulatory challenges worry you most if this shutdown continues to drag on?
I think that some of the biggest challenges are that if the shutdown drags on a long time, a lot of these agencies, some of them like the NCUA and Federal Reserve are self-funded, but a lot of the other ones like Treasury Department, FinCEN, the people aren't going to be there to do the job they need to do. The way we have built this system, the regulatory system for financial institutions in this country, you know, a lot of people might not like the regulators, but we need the regulators. They have a function. They have a job to do. And we saw this just most recently this past week with the CDFI fund at Treasury. As the shutdown drags on, if they keep following through with these reductions in force, if you have more and more folks furloughed, will they have the bodies in place to do what we need them to do? Certain things need to happen. The government has certain functions. It is built into the ecosystem of financial institutions in this country. And if you don't have the people there, you don't have the personnel there, can things that we need to get done, get done? We're very lucky. The Federal Reserve and the NCUA are independent and they're self-funded, but there's a lot of the government that isn't. And there's a lot of regulations. There's a lot of regulatory work that needs these other agencies that are appropriated and the people aren't there. And if we start having major reductions in force, will they be there once the government even reopens? That's another big question that we have to ask. What's going to be there when it reopens? And what's going to happen in this interim time between now and when it reopens if you don't have the personnel in place?
Thank you so much, Greg. We're so grateful for America's credit unions and advocates like yourself who are working to really champion credit unions during this time. Thank you for sharing this information. We'll be sure to link to everything in the show notes. And again, thank you.
You're welcome. Good talking with you.
The CU Insight Trendline is brought to you with support from the following CU Insight collaborators.
The Governmental Affairs Conference, hosted by America's Credit Unions, takes place next year from March 1st through 5th in Washington, D.C. Thousands of advocates head to our nation's capital to connect, influence, and act. This year's theme is Shape the Future. It's about turning today's conversations into tomorrow's impact, and your credit union stories are the driving force. Head to americascreditunions.org/GAC to register today.
MeridianLink, a trusted digital lending and account opening partner helping credit unions humanize banking. One loan, one account, one community at a time. With MeridianLink One, a powerful integrated banking platform, credit unions can deliver faster, smarter, more personalized experiences that put members first. Built for growth, proven to perform, trusted to deliver.
Let's continue to dig into the government shutdown and how it's affecting credit unions and their members and the advocacy that is taking place by the Defense Credit Union Council and listen in to the conversation between Tony Hernandez, DCUC's CEO, and our own Robbie Young, CU Insight's Vice President of Strategic Growth.
Hi, Tony. Thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of The Trendline.
wanted to dive in to some questions here that I think are so pertinent for our industry to have the answers to right now. And you strike me as just the perfect person to give these answers. What is your biggest concern for military families during this shutdown?
Well, thanks, Robin, for letting me be here and answer these important questions. You know, I think my biggest concern for military families is getting into a situation where they borrow too much money to tide them over this shutdown. And then, you know, with all the things that are happening, troops just got paid yesterday, is them all of a sudden get into a debt situation that they can't really pay back. You know, we've got all these people willing to help, and so they've got all this money. They're going to have to pay a lot of that back. You know, a lot of people were making loans in the early announcement of the shutdown, and then the government came through with a paycheck anyway. So what do they do with that extra money? You know, and that's my biggest concern, is that military people will inadvertently get into a larger debt situation.
Yeah, and I know that's such a pertinent piece for military families. I know that you all have a lot of information on your site, on your CU Insight Collaborator page, so we'll be sure to link to that in the show notes. When it comes to immediate relief measures, is DCUC pushing for Congress to adopt anything particular?
Yeah, we signed on early on Representative Kiggins' Pay Our Troops Act. You know, that's a very important legislation because it takes them out of this shutdown and all the other stuff. And I think there's huge bipartisan support for that bill. And then there's a companion piece, because that just covers DOD, but there's the Coast Guard Parity Act that we're also promoting on Capitol Hill. And that just takes care of those people that are in uniform, including the Coast Guard, that are patrolling our waterways so that they can continue the mission and secure our national security and not have to worry about all the other things. I'm not saying the rest of the federal government or workers are not important, but those are two that we think have the highest bipartisan support. And then, you know, everybody else moving forward. You know, what we really need is just either a clean CR that takes all the politics out of it, or an appropriations bill so that we can everyone get back to work.
For sure. And if you could pull back the curtain a bit, how are defense credit unions preparing to support members if this shutdown continues?
Well, a lot of them got a reprieve, you know, with the government, at least for military members. You know, a lot of them got paychecks yesterday from the federal government. So that just kind of rolls things forward for another pay period, which will happen at the end of the month. And a lot of our member credit unions have guaranteed pay. And what that is a zero interest loan. You have to have direct deposit for that to happen. And then as soon as the money shows up in your account, they go ahead and take that to settle your loan. Very transparent to the military member. But a lot of them have other low interest loans, skip pay plans that just get paying off your loan this month that helps. Or even looking at some restructuring some of your debt to make ends meet as well. A lot of credit unions have foundations that are there to help, and we've got plenty of resources to help out too. So I do think that having a brief reprieve by them getting paid yesterday allows credit unions to do what they do best for the end of the month in case this shutdown continues.
Well, Tony, thank you again so much for this valuable information during this very important time for our military and defense credit unions alike. And thank you again for all the work you and the DCUC team are doing to drive forward the best efforts for credit unions and those supporting our military.
Thanks, Robbie. It's a pleasure being here.
We appreciate the work of DCUC and America's credit unions for their advocacy on this and so many other issues facing credit unions. I invite you to visit their collaborator pages at cuinsight.com for expanded and detailed information on this and many other topics from DCUC, America's Credit Unions, and our other collaborators. Now, we are going to go long on this episode of the CU Insight Trendline, but we thought it was important to bring in voices on the critical issue of the government shutdown, and we hope that you will agree. Now let's get back to John Pettit for our number one trending article, and from there, we'll close out the episode. Thanks for sticking with us.
Welcome back. My number one article trending on CU Insight is Unsung Powerhouses: How Credit Unions Have Been Built by Women and for Women, from New Orleans Firemen's Federal Credit Union's Shirley Sin. Women have always shaped history, and credit unions are no exception. From pioneers like Dora Maxwell and Louise Herring to the millions leading and sustaining communities today, their impact is enormous but often overlooked. Credit unions can honor that legacy by telling these stories, supporting women in leadership, and designing services for their real-life needs. Recognition isn't just about the past. It's about building a future rooted in equity, inclusion, and shared strength. Are you seeing her, serving her, celebrating her? I recently asked Shirley, how can credit unions better reflect women's lived financial experiences in the design of their products and services?
So when we talk about women's lived financial experiences, we're really talking about the real stuff of life, like navigating pay gaps, taking career breaks for caregiving, juggling multiple roles, and still trying to build stability for ourselves and our families. And women's financial choices often come from a place of care and responsibility, like saving for a child's education, helping aging parents, or starting a small business. So credit unions can really honor these experiences by creating products that flex with life, things like adaptable loan terms, saving tools for life transitions, and financial guidance that really listens. I think because when we design for women's lived experiences, their resilience, their priorities, and values, we build systems that are more human and inclusive and empowering. And that's what really credit unions do best.
Thanks so much, Shirley. That's all for my top three trending articles on CU Insight. Back to Greg.
The team and I will be back next time with more updates to keep you ahead of the curve. Until then, keep tracking the trend.